This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying this summer morning. Thanks for listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. I can't even say your name, Chris Weigel, where every week we are here and we're doing life together, and we're always just so glad you joined us.
That's right. It's great to get together with everyone on Saturday, as always, and we love to have your comments and questions. You can join Dr. Mental online at Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps. And you can go there and answer the weekly question on social media. Also, Dr. Linda has a new book. It's called We Need to Talk, a book about relationship conflict. Check it out for yourself or maybe send a copy to a friend. And each week you can read Dr. Linda's weekly blog at My Faith Radio that relates to our show topic. And this week we're talking about bullying. And this week's blog is called Bullying, Worse Than Child Abuse.
And we're going to answer that question. But before we get into that, Chris, I just feel like the summer is slipping away. And
it is,
we see young people all around us returning to college and school's about to begin, or it has begun for some people. And of course, preseason football. That's kind of my marker when preseason football
right.
starts. You know it's almost over, right?
So, well, summer's definitely over when you see a school bus.
Yeah.
Going down the road, you say,
and they were there this morning
where I live.
I saw school buses. And I heard someone say that we just finished the dog days of summer.
Hmm.
And, you know, I've used that saying, the dog days, but I realized I had no idea where that came from or even really what it meant. So I only knew that it had something to do with the summertime and very hot days. Do you know what that means?
I have no idea. I've heard it like you 1,000 times and have no idea what it means.
I looked it up.
Okay.
It doesn't have anything to do with our canine friends. Actually has to do with a star in the sky.
Okay.
And so we have passed that time because technically the dog days are from July 3rd to August 11th. So we're past that date.
Hmm.
But it's named after the dog star. Did you know there's a dog star named Sirius?
Sirius, okay.
I'm serious.
Are you serious?
I knew that was coming, but I'm bump. And what happens is it comes out when the sun is hottest. So Sirius is the brightest star in the night during that time period, and then it comes out with the brightest time of the sun. So this is the time when everything is intense, and it's summery, and it's hot. And in fact, according to some ancient thinking, this is the time of droughts and plagues and madness. I guess that's where they got the dog days. But it marks the season, really, where the sun's heat is the hottest.
Always learning here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
I just thought that was fun. But since the dog days are gone, and we're over that, and summer is winding down, and we're all beginning to think about people going back to school, we really want to prepare teens and kids, and especially parents. This topic of bullying is huge, and it's on everybody's mind when the school year begins. We know this is a big problem in our schools, and we as parents and grandparents and friends and neighbors, we really want to be able to address bullying in a way that is really effective.
In order to get an idea of what parents are thinking, we did spend this week asking people to give us a strategy on how to deal with a bully. So how are we doing in dealing with bullying? And there's been a lot of media attention concerning schools and bullying and how children deal with this. How effective has all the awareness been in terms of stopping it?
Well, we have huge campaigns. I mean, if you think about past years, every time we start the school year, there's these big anti-bullying campaigns. But what is interesting about that is that there was a big study done at the University of Texas at Arlington, and it was a published study, and it shows, now this is just wild to me, schools that have an anti-bullying initiative, guess what?
bullying is probably worse.
It's worse. They're more likely to be bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they think this is the case is that, according to this bullying expert who was heading up this study, whenever you target a group of specific people, then things get worse.
Hmm. Right.
So those programs may actually be giving bullies ideas on how to bully better. And I'm sure that wasn't the intended impact.
Wouldn't think so. Anytime you bring something to the attention of society in general, I can see how it could be worse.
Well, it's kind of a conundrum, because what do? You want to bring awareness to the issue, but then the way they're bringing awareness, apparently, is increasing bullying and giving ideas to the bullies on how to do this even better. So that strategy is not working.
What about schools that have a zero tolerance policy?
We got to look at the research here. So they're not working either. In fact, the National Education Association gives these policies a big F or an E, depending on what part of the country you're in, for effectiveness. They're just saying they're not working. And a new study came out which tells us that bullying is worse than child abuse for kids. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to go into that study because that was shocking to me when I read that. So this is not something to fool around with.
Right.
This is really something that we have to be paying attention to, and we have to find effective ways to stop this.
I think one thing to be effective in stopping bullying would be to look for the signs. The federal government has a website called Stop Bullying Now, and on that website are the signs that may indicate your child is being bullied. What are some of those signs?
That's a good idea. Let's go through those, because it's important for us to intervene early when bullying happens, because the long-term effects of that are pretty staggering when we look at the data. Kids that are bullied later as adults, they'll have anxiety, they'll have depression, they'll have low self-worth, and the effects of bullying often persist long after the child is out of that situation. So, what are the signs? Well, let me read a list of these, because I think these are important for us to pay attention to. So, unexplained injuries. Your child comes home and he's been beaten up or something bad has happened to him, and he gives you some kind of lame excuse for that. You might want to think about that as a possible sign. Lost or destroyed clothing or books or electronics or jewelry. Frequent headaches or stomach aches, feeling sick or faking illness. What about changes in eating habits? Like suddenly they're skipping meals. Why would they be skipping meals at school?
Well, the anxiety and depression.
Yeah, but think about it. A bully could be bullying them at lunchroom, in the lunchroom.
Right.
And then you don't even want to go in there. You're just going to say, I'm not going to even go in there because maybe some bully's going to do something bad to me. Sometimes even binge eating for kids. Is a sign. That's how you deal with that anxiety you're talking about.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Is by eating. And then some kids have even difficulty sleeping, or they start to have frequent nightmares that they didn't have before as a result of that.
Well, Dr. Linda, there are several signs that we still need to talk about
more
before the show ends, and we want to get to those, obviously. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. It's great to be along with you, and we're talking about the signs of bullying and how to deal with that with your children in school. You can visit Dr. Linda on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps. And, of course, you can read the blog about this show at myfaithradio.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
We need to talk.
Here we go again. I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh, something's wrong.
This is gonna be a long night.
Oh no, not again.
What did I do this time?
We need to talk. Four words that can stop a conversation and grip us with anxiety. Let's be honest. These words usually mean something is wrong, and we are about to go into the world of feelings, a place not everyone likes to visit. If you are smart, you won't begin a conversation with these four words. The phrase, "we need to talk," puts most of us on the defensive. "We need to talk" takes time and energy. It can be exhausting and doesn't always end with a quick fix. But the idea behind "we need to talk" is important to making our relationships work. It's our cue that something needs to be addressed.
Dr. Linda Mental's latest book, "We Need to Talk," is available now in bookstores everywhere, or visit her online at drlindahelps.com. drlindahelps.com.
If you're being bullied by somebody, if it's a bullying situation at work, you're going to want to think about going to HR. You want to weigh the pros and the cons. And if there's a chance of physical harm at all, you really do need to get somebody else involved immediately.
And welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about good ways to deal with a bully. We're trying to prepare you to be ready for the school year and to give your child or your friend or your neighbor or your grandchild a good strategy to deal with bullying.
And before the break, we were talking about signs you can look for in your children to see that they could possibly be being bullied or dealing with a bully at school. And we made it through a few of those signs, Dr. Linda. One more is difficulty sleeping or frequent nightmares when they come home.
Yeah, that is the sign, because they're anxious and they're upset. And when children are upset, it usually affects their eating and their sleeping and their irritability. When kids get depressed, it doesn't always look the same as adults, Chris. It sometimes is much more of an irritable, anxious, agitated kind of look. The other signs that we want to finish off are declining grades. So you start to see their schoolwork becoming problematic, or they don't even want to go to school. And then loss of friends that is sudden, or they're avoiding social situations, they're feeling helpless, their self-esteem is struggling. And then the really serious one is when you see some self-destructive behavior, such as running away from home or even talking about suicide. So a lot of times kids won't tell you that they're being bullied by someone because they're so afraid of what's going to happen.
Right.
But you'll see these signs. So if you see a lot of these signs, you just need to ask about that.
Well, they may not necessarily be afraid of the bully, but they might be, but it can be humiliating.
Yeah.
That would be a self-esteem problem.
Yeah, because you feel like you're out of control and you don't know what to do to help stop this thing.
So when we look at these signs, we see the reaction of the person being bullied, but what do we know about the person actually who is the bully?
Well, the one thing that we know is that bullying often starts really young. I mean, children as young as in kindergarten begin to form cliques, and they can intentionally reject children from playing. It's interesting how kids do that. That happened in my daughter's kindergarten class.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. They restricted a child because they said the child was fat. So they started to bully her. And fortunately, my daughter Katie stood up to these kids. And she said, "It's not nice to tell people they're fat. My mom works with fat people." She had no idea.
Right.
I mean, my specialty practice is obesity and eating disorders. She just kind of knew I worked with that somehow.
Right.
But she stood up to those kids, and it was very effective what she did.
Well, it starts at such an early age, because I've seen this myself. My daughter comes home from school, and there's a girl in her class in kindergarten that says, "You can play with this person, but you cannot play with this person."
Isn't that amazing?
And this girl thinks she has the right to tell them who to play with.
And girls. So see, the issue is with girls, especially young girls, they do it verbally. The boys, not so much. The boys are doing it with what we call relationship aggression, which basically means they're threatening to hit someone, or they hit somebody, or they're hitting people is what they're doing.
Well, this week on your blog at myfaithradio.com, you mentioned a study that compared child abuse and bullying, and the conclusions were actually very stunning.
I know, this study really concerned me. It was done with over 5,000 English students, like from Britain, that type of English, and American children as well. And what they found out was, if you're bullied by a peer, you are at risk for mental health problems as adults. And that was stronger than children who had just been abused. So isn't that wild? the risk for mental health problems were things like depression, anxiety, self-harm, feeling suicidal. Those are some pretty strong and important mental health concerns to be dealing with. The risk was higher for kids bullied than they were for children being maltreated. That just was stunning to me, because you would think the environment at home with child abuse would be a pretty strong risk factor for children having later mental health problems, but bullying is really intense.
You know, it shows you how much credence that young people put in their friendships, or lack of friendships, or how they're being treated at school. It's probably something that's very much overlooked.
Sometimes people just say, oh, just deal with it. No. Or, you're a wimp. I mean, I do hear fathers a lot of times saying, quit being a wimp and just deal with it. But the psychological effects of this tend to then carry with them this impact when they get later in life. So when they looked at American children who were bullied but not abused, the statistics were that they were 5 times more likely to suffer anxiety. And the English children in that same category suffered more depression and self-harm as adults. So this is really serious, and that's why we're spending a whole show on it, is that we want you as parents to recognize the signs, and then we want you to be able to equip your kids. And we're going to spend the last part of this show really talking about, then what do you do? What's effective? What works? Because we talked about in the first leg, Chris, that awareness alone doesn't work. Zero tolerance policies don't really work. So I really feel strongly that parents have to equip their kids, teach them what to do.
Well, coming up after this break, we will talk about the strategies that go into dealing with the situation of your children and bullying. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We'll be right back.
A bully doesn't like confrontation. He doesn't like resistance. And if a bully comes up to you in school and tries to bully you, resist them. Confront him.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, available on Dr. Linda Mental's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Hey, it's Dr. Linda Mental from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show, here on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. on Faith Radio. Join the conversation for our shows by commenting on questions and show topics posted on social media. Go to myfaithradio.com, click on my show, and leave your comments in the comment box. Or click on one of the social media icons and leave your comments on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you.
An abuser wants attention. They want a response, not necessarily always from you, but for people to be on their side. They may also enjoy being provoked and starting fights. They need to be shown compassion and that they are cared about. They may feel unloved and angry with themselves and the world for hurting them.
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about bullying. And it's that time of the year where we're sending our kids back to school. We're seeing the school buses in our neighborhoods, and we're thinking about bullying and what we can do to prepare our kids to effectively deal with a bully. So here's the situation I want to pose, Chris.
All right.
Your fifth grade son.
I don't have a son.
I know, I was going to say, do you have a fifth grade daughter? What do you have?
Second grade daughter.
Okay, that's a little young. I want to go a little older, so we're going to pretend it's your sixth grade son.
Okay.
Okay, he's playing soccer on the playground at recess. A sixth grade bully comes over mm-hmm. and takes his ball, throws it at him, and laughs as he walks away. Now, what should your son do?
Well, as always, we've had some people participate in the show this week. And Bruce says, one good punch to the nose and they won't bother you ever again.
Okay. It sounds very much like a guy response,
right.
Doesn't it?
That's what Dad always says. And Clark says to fight back. However, Marissa says, punch them in the face.
Okay, so there's a gender. I was making a gender stereotype
there. Right, yeah.
So we had a number of people who said, just fight back.
Mm-hmm. So many of us have grown up and have heard the phrase, hey, defend yourself.
Right.
And I remember hearing clearly, don't start it, but finish it.
Well, you know, I really struggled with this because mm-hmm. this happened to our son. And I was infusing him with turn mm-hmm. the other cheek, try all these and the other strategies that we're going to go through. And he really did a good job. We were trying all this. And this bully did not stop. And I do remember that my husband at one point said, okay, this is what you have to do to stop him. So I don't know that that's the best way biblically to handle it, but he tried all of that first. Now, this is not effective in terms of making the bully himself stop doing it to other people.
True.
The issue here is that he might leave you alone, but then he's going to go find somebody else. So we're going to keep pushing these strategies because there's one that will be effective with the bully no matter mm-hmm. who the bully targets.
You know, Barb says in this situation, don't react in anger. It doesn't mean you shouldn't remove yourself from the situation if necessary, but chances are anger is all the bully has ever known.
Mm.
And it really depends on how well the school faculty treats the issue, too. The two incidents we had to deal with were handled very well by staff. One was in grade school, and one was in junior high. The kids all get along fine, but Barb says it was just a matter of talking the situation out.
Okay, so she's looking at one of the aspects of that. First is walk away. One of the strategies that people sometimes say is, you're being bullied, just walk away and don't say anything.
Right.
And I think that can be effective if you can get your child to do it. Sometimes what happens, though, is the bully follows the child
right.
and continues to taunt, and then it's hard to keep ignoring what's going on. It's not correcting the behavior of the bully.
Mm-hmm.
Will it work? If you can get your child to not react, it might over time. But the problem is, this is what we call in psychology an extinction procedure,
mm-hmm.
where you're just ignoring, you're withholding any attention to a behavior you don't want to see. So when the bully starts bullying, if the child can completely ignore to walk away, but the child has to do it every single time, can never look at the bully, can never give any attention,
right.
it's really hard for kids to do that. But I think that's something that can be effective over the long term. Although I have seen, and I was a consultant to the Chicago Public Schools,
mm-hmm.
that sometimes when they ignore, some bullies get even madder and go after the kid in a more harmful way.
Because they're looking for a reaction
yeah.
of some sort.
And they're going to up the ante to get that
right.
reaction. And that's the deal with that ignoring strategy, that when you ignore someone, they get even more upset. Again, you have to ignore through the whole thing in order for that to work.
As far as corrective behavior goes, or corrective measures, what about reporting the bully to the authorities?
Because that's one of the issues that Barb said. They did have an incident where they went to the staff, and it's as effective as much as the adults are involved and they're actually going to do something about that. So they have to have a consequence.
Right.
And the consequence has to be something effective. Reporting a bully, though, unfortunately, is unpopular with kids because then they're called a rat.
Right.
Or they're made fun of. Then they get bullied even more because mm-hmm. they told.
Or they get made fun of because they simply didn't defend themselves
right.
and toughen up and take care of themselves. I've seen kids steer clear of the person and then catch more trouble from everyone else for not having done something about it.
Yeah, so it's kind of a no-win situation
yeah.
for them. So it's hard. You've got to tell kids to tell somebody.
Right.
Try to get it so that that's safe without them being considered a tattletale. That's why a lot of these schools have gone to anonymous reporting
mm-hmm.
and put the person's name in a basket and somebody can tell you. But it is important to tell somebody.
Holly and Madison have responded to this question. And Dr. Linda, I can't do this.
Okay, what did they say?
Talk to the bully about how they are making you feel. That's Madison's comment. And then Holly says to kill them with kindness.
Yeah,
that's just not me.
And I have heard that. I have seen kids able to do that. I got to say, I'm trying to think, have I seen only girls do that?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen girls do that more often than guys. The idea here is to get at what's going on with the bully. That takes a lot of skill to do that.
Right.
But it is the idea of not returning evil with evil. Right. You know, so again, from a biblical point of view, these kids may have learned that what happens if you heap coals of kindness onto this person?
Mm-hmm.
And they're invoking a biblical scripture. And sometimes that startle is enough to make that bully go, yeah, what am I doing? I think a lot of moms like that answer because we tend to like to talk out our problems and solve them by talking to other people. But there is a biblical precedent for that.
Katie had a good answer and that she's on the right track when she says, stick with your friends, be in a group, and don't be alone.
That is actually the best strategy. It's something that is called the swarm. S-W-A-R-M.
Like a bee.
Like a bee.
Okay.
You're swarming. So what happens is you're involving other children and standing up to the bullies. In that technique, what happens, a group of bystanders, and that's important, that the people that are standing around, that are part of watching this, they swarm the bully, and they tell him or her to back off. Because there's power in numbers, and the bully will often back off because the bully's being confronted by a number of people, and the group is pushing back at them. So that is probably the best strategy. As we're kind of getting near the end of this, Chris, I just want to say that words are very important. Words do hurt. You know, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words may never hurt me.
Not true.
It's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Words do hurt. So it's really important to help kids understand the power of their words. The Bible certainly talks about the power of life and death is in the tongue. So we need to teach our kids that. We need to teach them that only God defines who you are, and that we don't want to give any power to anybody else to define us. Our identity comes from God and not from other people. And finally, we want to begin to teach our kids empathy from a young, young age. The first time my child ever tried to disparage another child, I was on him.
Yes.
I really was. And the lesson was, put yourself in his place.
We've been through that at our house. I've taken Evelyn off to the side at the event.
Yes.
And said, is this the way you would want to be treated? Knock it off.
You're teaching your child the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. You have to start that at an early age. And then, obviously, provide kids a moral perspective. Part of what we're talking about is this golden rule, and this is part of the way we treat one another as children of God. So that's all important. Well, I hope that was helpful. We gave you some strategies. That's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our engineer, Matt Garcia, who was also our man on the street this week. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.